listening to Pro Booth Talk, photo booth insight, tips, and banter recorded by boothers for boothers. Brought to you by ProBoothTalk.com.
Welcome back to Pro Booth Talk. What's going on, Lat?
Hey, Jason. Hi, everybody.
So today, Lat mentioned that she wanted specifically to talk about lighting. So that must have come up in your world recently. How did this topic come about for you?
It's never a topic. It's a topic every single day. The topic every day is something that I put a lot of emphasis on every day. Lighting is so important to what we do, from photos to videos, and I'm always on the hunt for like the best or a better lighting solution. So it's always a topic on my mind.
Yeah, and we see it in the photo booth forums a lot too. A lot of times people having trouble of focusing, a lot of camera issues that ultimately are a direct result of poor lighting. So it's a lot more important than I feel like a lot of photo boothers give it credit for. You know, of course, besides photo quality, just the entire functioning of your camera is better with better lighting. So in it, quality control, ultimately, depending on what kind of lighting you're using, will drastically affect your workflow and your results. So it's a good topic.
Yeah, I agree. I think the type of lighting you have, working along with the photo booth rig that you have, be it iPad or DSLR, I definitely think it poses different challenges for you. So knowing what your lighting options are and how they work with your equipment and how, you know, any challenges that come up with it is pretty important. I know one of the things we always think about with lighting is like the photo quality, and what I think that means is, so like if a lot of our industry focuses on the camera, like what's the best DSLR camera that's going to be high res, what's the best iPad on the market? And in reality, from my experience, because I have, you know, iPad 9.7 all the way to the current ones, 11, I don't know what they are, 11.2 and 12.9 or something like that, iPad Pros. So I've seen all the iPads through the different versions of them. And what I can tell you is it doesn't matter what Apple pushes as what 5 pixels, 10 pixels, megapixels. What really matters is going to be the type of lighting that you have. That's what really what's going to change your output from being just a lot of noise versus being sharp and clear. The base of photography is lighting. So I do agree. A lot of us focus on the type of camera and we don't think enough about, you know, how you're lighting your subjects. Is it constant light? Is it LED light? Is it strobes?
Yeah, and lighting can be both functional and creative as well. So there's a lot of different topics to discuss there. And besides, it just provides a more elevated experience in general. If you're shooting with a DSLR with a strobe and you've got something flashing over there, drawing attention to your photo booth in the middle of the wedding, it's very powerful. Besides putting out a better output, you are drawing attention to your booth, and it looks like a more professional setup than if you just have a constant modeling lamp and that's all you're running. Of course, with the iPad, I guess I'm so used to saying like iPad and DSLR, but I guess DSLR and iPad are kind of merging in today's world. So specifically shooting from an iPad, there are some iPad ways camera, to use yeah. a strobe, but typically you're going to use a constant light source with the iPads. And fortunately, you know, they do have cameras and really good cameras that handle lighting well, so you can get away with having some really amazing photos without a strobe, but you do need additional lighting to pull that off.
So we want to kind of discuss like the different types of lighting that's available and what might work best for your photo booth solution. There's tons of lighting options in the photography world, but I think in the photo booth industry, there's some main ones that we primarily use. Like some people do bare bulb. I don't think that's that common. But there's specific cases that bare bulb might be beneficial to you. The bounce card is one that some folks use. That's the bounce card on your camera, as well as some booths that are equipped with like a giant bounce card, the beauty dish, the umbrella, the softbox, and then the ring light. I think those are the most common types of lighting, and each one has their pros and cons. I talked about the bare bulb having its case use. Most of us would never use a bare bulb, but I know there's situations like if you are at the beach, the sun at the beach is going to be a lot more powerful than really any flash that you're going to have. I mean, we have Alien B 1600s, which are pretty powerful. And I think even at 1600, it struggles to overpower the sun. So this is the type of scenario where we would use a bare bulb. You get direct light, high contrast. You get a little bit more harsh shadows. But when you're at the beach, overpowering the sun is going to be more of a focus than shadows. The bounce card, some booths are equipped with bounce cards. Bounce cards are like walls. When I think of like bounce, I think like bounce cards, walls, ceilings, white draping. So that's different light diffusers that you can use. Beauty dish is going to be like a small dish inside a big dish. The light hits the small dish inside before it hits the dish, so you get a lot of diffusion. That creates like sparkle in people's eyes, and it also smooths out a lot of like, you know, the shadows, so you're not going to see a lot of the imperfections with a beauty dish. And then most of us use umbrellas. Is that what you guys use?
We do,
Jason.
We will change as we need for different applications, but primarily if we're shooting with a DSLR, we have tried most things and we love umbrellas. We do have bounce cards on several of our booths that we will pop up in cases that maybe we forgot our umbrella, or the umbrella is broken, or if we're outside and it's windy and an umbrella is not practical. There are several different times that we'll just pop up the bounce card and use that instead. And I dislike bounce cards a lot. I think they're too harsh. It's certainly a lot better if you have like a ceiling or something to bounce off of, because it's a much larger surface and can diffuse a lot more. But if we've got a ceiling, we're probably inside. And if we're inside, we're using an umbrella. So primarily umbrellas.
Yeah, I like
you as well.
Yeah, we primarily use umbrellas. I like that the surface area that the light spreads is a lot larger. So, you know, if you're doing groups, you're going to get a little bit more light spread with an umbrella than you are with any of the other flashes, flash diffusers, light diffusers. I also like that they're light. You know, we just slide them into our photo booth, so they're a lot more portable.
Yeah, very portable. And you've got a lot of options with umbrellas too. So you've got the bounce umbrellas and the shoot throughs, and I guess a brolly box probably qualifies as an umbrella.
Similar.
Basically an umbrella with it's more of a light box, but it's uses an umbrella. But so we use bounce, like we shoot into the umbrella and bounce back on the subjects. Do you do that, or do you use a shoot through umbrella?
I use a bounce reflective. So my umbrellas they look like they're white, but they're actually speckled with silver. So we use them as bounce reflectors. And then we don't use bounce cars if we don't have umbrellas because it's windy. We switch over to beauty dishes.
We used to do that, but they're just too big and cumbersome to have at every event.
Bring us back
the bounce card is kind of just built into the booth, so it's much more convenient. I'd prefer to have a beauty dish, but it's just like if we could plan,
we know we're going to be outside camera, and use it. Jason?
No, we're using our DSLRs. Well, about half of them are men booths, and the other half are the Marquees and Lumias, and they've got like the bounce card built onto it, just swivels up.
Like the giant ones.
So we'll just switch to the internal flash and use the bounce card on that. The men booth uses the entire front plate as a diffuser. So we'll use that if we've got one of those booths. Again, only if we don't have the umbrella, though. It's very convenient to have the front plate as a diffuser, but I don't like it nearly as much as I like the umbrellas. And you mentioned the silver speckle. That's another attribute or something people need to decide on. If you choose to go the direction of an umbrella, You've got gold that's going to give kind of a more warm tone to people's skin. You've got silver, you've got white. So you've got a lot of different options. And none of them are necessarily right, obviously, or there would only be one option. You just have to really test and practice and see what's right for you. Like
what sometimes, your personal, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the umbrella, I think, is right for most people just because of it's so easy to break down and so light to transport and whatnot. But then you need to decide if you like the look of the shoe through or the bounce or the gold line, silver line, white line. So there's a lot of testing, and it really comes down to a matter of creativity and your eye and what you like.
Yeah, I think like there's specific uses for them too. Like we typically like the white umbrellas that we use. They do have a little bit of silver speckle, and what that does is it creates more contrast, that silver. If you're shooting green screen, you probably want more sharp images, less soft light, and more contrast, more sharpness. That would be a great time to use like a silver, I think, if you're doing like green screen. But yeah, I definitely think it's personal preference. Knowing what the different outputs are, I honestly, though, Jason, like between the beauty dish and the umbrella and even the softbox, coming from the photo booth side, none of us are really like peeping the pixels. We're not sitting there, you know, looking at like analyzing the shadows as much as like a photographer, like a portrait photographer might. So really, it's about like what makes sense for the type of booth you have and the circumstances. So, you know, like we're talking about, if you're out on a windy day, an umbrella is not going to be a great idea. But for 90% of the uses that we have, we're indoors, we're in a venue, you know, an umbrella is just so much more convenient and compact. But sometimes you have clients who have more focus on aesthetic than output. Mm-hmm. And that's like a case where like a min booth, not having any additional flash, not having any bounce or anything, just shooting light through the front faceplate, because your client might care more about the aesthetic of a clean setup. Yeah. Same thing with why we use beauty dishes. Like I think beauty dishes are great for portrait photography where you're focusing on one person. But in a photo booth scenario, when you're trying to capture a group of people, it's not going to have that spread that you might want. So you're going to have a little bit more darker edges around your backdrop if you're shooting wide, you know, the 8-foot backdrop. So we try not to use beauty dishes unless the aesthetic matters more than the output.
Yeah, especially if you're doing something like glamour. I see a lot of people asking how to get their entire white backdrop to look white. And it's going to be really hard to accomplish with a beauty dish because it just doesn't spread the light enough. And another aspect of umbrellas to consider more is the size. There's so many different sizes. And I remember every now and again, there's a photo that will pass around the photo booth community of like a 5-foot wide umbrella, and it looks ridiculous and people comment on it, but I bet the results are incredible. Like, that is such a huge, beautiful spread of light. I bet it yields incredible results, but just like you're mentioning, it doesn't really fit the aesthetic of almost any event. So
yeah, but I mean, there's case uses for it. Like if you're you have, when I use those big 48 inch or 5 feet, I think they're called parabolic umbrellas. It's meant to like really minimize all shadows. It's really great for like portrait photography. If you try to strap that onto your booth will probably tip over. We don't use big umbrellas. We should probably if we want to really cover that 8-foot backdrop. But I feel like I've made that decision where like I have to kind of find balance between the two, mm-hmm. you know, between something that's just overly, because I know when I used to have a different booth, I used to use a lot larger umbrella. It was bigger than the face of the photo booth. And when I look back now, it just aesthetically looks ridiculous, although the lighting was amazing. So I've made the harder decision to like find a balance between something that balances aesthetics and output.
Yeah. Yeah. And ultimately that's where you have to go. Ultimately, though, I would say, you know, whatever you decide on, keep it consistent so that your photos are consistent from one booth to the next and one event to the next. Once you decide on a beauty dish or an umbrella or a specific umbrella or your bounce card or whatever it is, try to make sure you have that exact same umbrella in all your booths So obviously, barring it's a windy day or you're at a trade show and they don't want umbrellas or whatnot, obviously there's those exceptions, but primarily you want your outputs to be consistent. So try and get the same thing, same stuff.
Yeah, I think the one lighting that we didn't talk about yet was the ring lights. I don't know if they're still as popular as they were a few years
like
back, but I know some booths are equipped. They're like the round ring that wraps around the camera itself. I know some of the older booths were built like that. I'm not sure if people still have those.
Yeah, like there's some that are strobes and some that are just modeling, I guess. Like the iClick had one specifically.
The Paul Buff has one. I don't think it's not called
the
Alien.
It's the R800, I think.
Yeah, like the B800. Gosh, I can't remember, DB800 or something like that. But it's actually a flash that sits around the camera. That specific lighting option has very distinct like output. So if you are, you know, you're talking about like making sure you stay consistent with your lighting. If you use a ring light in any of your booths, you should try to stay consistent with that because that creates unique shadowing around your guests, like a halo shadowing, and your images are going to have a different, I feel like they're a little bit more flat. I know some people like that output. Me personally, I moved away from it, but your white balance and everything totally changes when you use that kind of flash. It took me a couple years to figure that out myself.
Yeah, and to clarify, because ring lights are so popular in the industry, Lap isn't talking about like the large ring lights that are typically around like an iPad or
not
a Roomba, but this
ones.
Is a very small strobe ring
strobe.
Light that just goes around the barrel of a DSLR camera.
Yeah. I don't think
and
those
strobes.
Are as popular anymore. Yeah,
I don't think so
as popular anymore. But yeah, but anybody that does have that type of lighting, I think it has very distinct output. But I think most of the industry really struggles with just the decision between like an umbrella and a beauty dish. And then, of course, the softbox. I know some people have, you know, asked about like, what's the difference between a softbox, an umbrella, and a beauty dish? A softbox, in my mind, you have more control because you have the black edges. So you're able to point that softbox towards guests and not have as much spread. So you're not lighting up the entire room. But most of us aren't using softboxes. They're just a little bit more cumbersome. And aesthetically, they're not going to be, you know.
I think Bill Varenkamp uses Brawley boxes, if I remember correctly. But
yeah, that's like a combination.
I
use Brawley boxes too. It's like a not for my photo booth, although I have done it. But a Brawley box, for anybody that doesn't know, that's like a mix of an umbrella that folds open, and then you have the white diffuser liner that's in the front. So it's like a softbox and an umbrella built together. The benefits of both. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a cool device, but we don't use them either. So the takeaway from the DSLR, first of all, you should definitely be using a strobe. Like if you have a DSLR, you're doing yourself an enormous disjustice if you are not, or injustice. Yeah, injustice if you are not using some form of strobe. You can get away with using a cheap, how do you say the off brand that is a newer? I think it's.
That's how I say it.
Okay. You could use.
For like 100,
a
I think they're like $115 now.
I personally use Paul Buff Alien Bees or Digi Bees personally. We like them a lot.
Yeah.
We've had some issues with a couple strobes throughout our years, and they're very good about you. We just send it back into them, and
servicing
it comes
them.
Back to us a week later, fixed or replaced. So we like having that kind of support behind us, and they're very powerful, fast lights too, and very compact, very small squares, and also easy to control. I like having the button controls instead of the dial controls. I think the Alien Bees still have dial controls, or the Digi Bees have the buttons.
The Alien Bees have the dials, yeah, and then the Digi is digital, so you actually push up and down.
Yeah, so we prefer the Digi Bees.
The modeling light, yeah, the Digi Bee has the modeling light that's a lot smaller and brighter, so for video, Digi Bees are ideal, modeling light ideal. I think with DSLR,
you have
a lot more.
Like their casing comes in colors too. So if you want to have them branded, so we have black and we have red. Yeah, we've got some red ones.
Oh yeah, that makes sense. The red.
Yeah. So.
But I love I love that with DSLR, like if you use strobes, like you have, you open up a whole window of creative lighting. Like a lot of the industry is moving more towards, like, I don't know if you've seen people who gel their flashes. So you can actually gel your Digibees or your Alien Bees with like a red or a pink or a turquoise and just add like so much more to the image. Where it's just not just a basic photo booth. I don't know if you've seen like the dual lighting. I know at PBS they were showcasing that at one of the booths where, you know, you had like pink lighting on one side, blue on the other. Even not just creative lighting on your guests, but you can creatively light your backdrop as well. So if you don't want to actually have a pink backdrop, you can gel one of your flashes, work around a lot of that. That's one of the benefits of a strobe with the DSLR. That you don't really have with iPad. You don't really have that kind of control with iPad.
Like, yeah, iPad, and you're typically lighting going to have one strobe. Like, it's generally going to be a one flash setup, which is ideal. But there are boothers out there like George Velasco that has like a pin or hair light that he sets up on his backdrop to kind of, and those are really, really beautiful because it sets your subject or your guests away from the backdrop.
Some
it just kind of creates a little bit of a halo, and it's really pretty. I've thought about adding it in for years now, but you know, I just don't want that extra step of setup. But the results are really great, and George's outputs are really great from using those. So
yeah, background separation, and it's just more depth. Yeah.
So multiple options, but
I've seen people who do DSLR that combine the two as well. Like they combine the strobe. Like you don't have to stick with one or the other. Like I've seen people who use a strobe as well as like LED lighting. I know sometimes we do that. You have LED lighting for like ambiance to add ambiance to your image. And then the strobe to actually light your guests. And then lighting for iPads, I feel like a lot's changing, don't you, Jason? Like, it used to only be constant LEDs, and now you have a little bit more flexibility.
Yeah, for the longest time, I was kind of refusing, being stubborn, saying, you know, if people are getting an iPad booth, then, you know, they're looking for something very simple and clean, and they're not worried about the output, and the ring light's going to be enough because, you know, I don't want to get into sending extra lights and stuff along with iPad booths. But we've completely changed, and unless it's like a trade show or something like that, where that is what they're looking for, a very clean setup on the showroom floor.
Yeah.
Any other time, especially if we're printing, we bring along an extra light, and I'll have to look. I have the light shining on me right now, but I'm not sure of the brand. Oh, it's a newer, and it is a.
You guys charge extra to do that?
No, it really just comes down to output. Like, we don't want to print from a ring light and have the photos look like shit. And the lighting really makes the photos look really crisp and clean and printable. And we're not embarrassed to hand them to people. So we just bring those along to, and it's better. It's easier to get a white balance too with having one of these lights. But it's like, I don't know, maybe 18 inches around. We use them for 360s as well. When we need additional lighting, they're super, super bright. They're really great lights. And we only need one when we're doing like iPad lighting. I have seen people, especially, I think it's something that Salsa, the Salsa company, is it Pickbox Co? Is that the name of them?
That's
something they were pushing with the gels. Yeah. What'd you say it again? I think I said the wrong one. I don't want to miss it.
PBSCO?
Yes. That. Yeah, it was the Salsa. So they had the gels and the side lights that were doing the pink and blue. And that was a very creative and unique output. I liked it. I've seen that at a couple of events. We've got a couple of those lights or a handful of those lights, but we've never really used the gels, and I'd like to. I guess I need to create a product and push it to people so they can kind of see some examples and outputs.
For strobes, you can do gels, but for like constant lighting, it's RGB. The LEDs are RGB. So it's not gel if it's constant for the iPad. I love adding like the additional colors. The only thing is with iPads, you're so restricted with lighting unless you have like very, very high powered LED RGB LEDs, RGB yes. LED lights, unless they're super high powered, you do run into where you have situations where, you know, I know some, a lot of us have experiences like you book an iPad booth and they have an entire grass wall backdrop that's like 8 feet by 8 feet, and they want you to capture the entire 8 foot by 8 foot green boxwood backdrop. And with a DSLR and strobe, you're able to, you know, that's not even a challenge. Like, you don't even worry about it. But with iPad lighting, that's where the limitation of like LEDs or constant lighting becomes an issue, because if you don't have that extra lighting, are you going to set it back there near the iPad, you know, 6 feet away, for, because you can't zoom with an iPad, or do you move those lights closer to light up your desk? So you only have a certain range with LEDs and constants, and the mm-hmm. further the distance or the darker the environment you're in, the more lights you have. So if you're seeing like the noise, you have to either consider stronger LEDs or move your lights closer. That's one of the things that we try to do. Like if we're doing a full 8 foot backdrop, we move our lights right maybe 2 feet away from the backdrop itself and then point it at guests, because that's really what matters.
And if you have two on one on each side, you really can get constant lighting all the way through, where the ring light on the iPad booths has such a drastic fall off. The people in the front will be blown out and the people in the back will be super dark. So you really need some kind of side lighting on each side.
Supplemental lighting. Yeah. Just the ring light itself, 8 feet away, is not going to do you anything. Like we've tried that. We've tried like our iPad booth, you know, set really far back, and you just get darkness even at full blast. So having supplemental LEDs or constant, the difference between the two, LED and constant, like LEDs have a slightly different white balance, I feel like, than constant lighting. Constant lighting is like, I know like some of the budget lighting that you find like on Amazon, it's just like bulbs. So when I say constant, that's what I'm talking about. But the white balance is a little bit different between like LED constant lighting and then strobes. Because I know some people ask like, why do you prefer like a flash LED or strobe? There's slight differences in like the output. Like if you mix an LED with flash for lighting your subjects, it's going to look a little bit different because their temperature is a little bit different. Do you see that, or is that my imagination?
No, I think you're right. I agree there. A lot of lights, you have the ability to kind of alter the temperature as well. Well, I guess more of the LED lights and whatnot, which we don't, I guess we do change it upon when we get new ones, but then we have a place that we like them and we leave them there pretty much forever.
I'm usually on daylight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's...
I think my daylights are like 5200 Kelvin.
Well, I'd have to check. Well, I wonder if I could check on my remote here.
Yeah, but I know like for photo booth lighting, you're 4900.
This light custom... here specifically is set at 4900 that I've got on me right now.
Oh, you have. I don't have the ability to adjust the LEDs that we have, but I'm always on the hunt for better lighting, especially for video, because that's growing so much. Like video lighting, I've had my hands on some amazing LED lights made by, gosh, I can't remember, Aperture. They're like $1,500 video production lights, and those will light up even during the day, but most of us can't afford that type of lighting. I mean, they're like, I think they're like $3,000, $1,500, depending on which one. If you get RGB, I think they're $3,000, you know? So I've been trying to like find a good mix between the cost of great LED powerful lighting and, you know, the output. Because they're not all made the same.
No, and you're right. LED lighting can get quite expensive, especially if you're using a name brand stuff. Fortunately, we haven't come across any reason to use that super expensive lighting yet. So we're all pretty, I think these round lights are the most expensive lights that we've got. And I can't remember how much they are. I think they're like $250 or something. But we typically try to get them on like an Amazon Prime Day or Black Friday and stuff, because they're like almost like 40% off or something.
That's pretty awesome. No, I had a I had a client that wanted very low lighting for one of our 360s. So the LEDs that we typically use for 360 lights up the entire room, but we're not able to adjust camera settings for low light without noise. So we actually needed super, super powerful LEDs. And those LEDs were amazing. I would love to have those for our 360s and video activations in general. Like a lot of the creative video that's growing in popularity, I would love to have, especially like the RGB, you know, because then you don't have to set the lights as close. Because right now the LEDs that we have that are RGB, we have 6 and we try to line them up when we do video, but they just don't have that reach when you're in a dark, in a dark environment.
Just isn't,
Yeah. And during the day, for you to adjust your camera settings so that you can get your video dark enough to even show the RGB lighting, when you darken your video footage, your LEDs not being as powerful, the color is just not going to brighten up your guests as much. I mean, that's getting more into like video lighting than anything, but.
Yeah, but that's where the industry seems to be going. At least, I mean, I feel like we're going to be heading that direction a lot more than we are right now. Maybe we won't. Maybe we're at the apex of video, but a lot more video type activations are coming out. And that LED and video lighting is becoming more and more prevalent. And lighting for video is a lot more difficult. You just need so much power behind it, you know, so much lighting. Even when you've got like the Vogue booth, those things, those LED lights in there emit so little light, even at full power, you need some kind of extra lighting for your guests, or it just looks like an LED tunnel with a dark subject in it. So, or else you can pop up the shutters or the ISO on your iPad and it'll be very grainy and whatnot. So
yeah, more noise. Light. Yeah, I invested in some NAN lights, which I love. They're like 4 feet NAN lights. They put out an amazingly bright output. They're tubes, 4 foot tubes. So they're a lot bigger than the LEDs that we use on our 360. But my challenge with these is they they have internal battery, and when I have them on full blast, they only last 2 hours. So that's something that I invested in for video activation specific. But again, it's one of the challenges of what we do is making sure we have an aesthetically pleasing setup as well as something that's functional for like the actual output for us. And these NAND lights, the chargers are on top. So I can't plug them in without, you know, impacting our aesthetic, which is it's so frustrating because I invested so much in these
application
lights.
For, like,
yeah. Huh. You would think that they have the lights plugging at the bottom. So when we do events with these NAND lights, like I would love to have them at full blast because the color wash on them is amazing at 100%. I love it for video, but at full blast, the operational time on NAND lights is like 2 hours. So we usually have to dial it down to like 20-30%, which, you know, is going to be closer to the output that I get with my standard. I think I use newer lights. I don't look really fast. No, I don't use newer lights.
Could you maybe like get like a cord runner and alter the light so that you can run a cord down to the bottom of it, like down the side with a cord cover or something like that?
You know, I have to look into that. I think I looked into possibly running them by battery versus plugging them into the AC adapter, because again, our 360s right now, really clean setup. It's we always boost about being battery powered and not relying on any sort of plugs. I don't love that with the NAND lights that we have to plug in. So I actually looked into like a battery solution. I just haven't been able to test it live. The NAND lights put out a lot more heat than like the standard LEDs that we use in our 360s. So my staff tells me that it gets uncomfortable when you have like a 360 with like 8 man lights around it. I haven't experienced it myself, so I haven't moved forward with testing like a battery powered option for them. But I would love to utilize them more, just because because they like creative lighting is like where the industry is going. You know, people have seen glam, they've seen portrait booths, they've seen like all the sequin backdrop. So I think presenting something unique with lighting, and that's something I want to move forward with. Like I've been looking into like creating things outside of the normal photo booth images, just so that you have an offering that's a little bit more unique, and lighting is the easiest way to go about it. Very expensive way, but the easiest way to go about like, you know, generating output that's a little bit more unique.
Yeah, I've seen recently people doing colored, I'm not sure if they're strobes or what, but they basically cast like a colored shadow. Does that make sense? So you have a photo of the person with a white backdrop, and then there'll be like
the CMYK
blue
shadows
or pink
behind them.
Like I've seen that done in like droplets, but I've seen it more recently just done like live on the
actual lighting
at the events. Yes, and that's pretty neat.
Yeah, that's more of an experiential thing, because you definitely can do that with CMYK. But I was chatting with somebody about the whole concept. It's some sort of photography concept that I cannot grasp how it's working, but it was described to me as like light is rainbows, and when you're using 3 strobes or something like that, it bends the light and separates them, and that's how you get the 3 shadows. I'm intrigued by it. I would love to. I was discussing this with a boother, because I would love to offer something like that. Just the fact that it's so unique, and it boggles my mind to have colored shadows, because I know exactly what you're talking about. I know that was something that people were doing about 6 years ago in an art industry, but I haven't seen it resurface here. But I would love to do that. And again, that's R&D, more stuff that you have to test out to figure out how to. And that's the thing. Like we're always testing new lighting. We're always testing new concepts. You know, so there's always a bunch of things on the roster to do. But I know what you're talking about. CMYK lighting. It's like red, yellow, and blue shadows behind guests. Really cool. If anybody hasn't seen it before,
I think I'll look into it a bit after we're done today, and I'll share my findings with you, because it's something I'd like to offer. We actually did the CMYK through Photoshop droplets in the past. It's been a few years, but it's much cooler when it's live in there, and it's more
an
engaging.
I feel like that about light painting, because it's unexpected. People don't expect that at all.
Yeah, light painting is something completely unique as well, because it's drastically different with the lights you're using. You want a super dark area, preferably, and then you're dragging the shutter and just using the strobe specifically to paint the subject, but you've got different lights going on in the background. So it's very, I don't know if this is the right area in the podcast to discuss light painting, because it doesn't really fit into lighting.
We should probably have a separate... Yeah,
separate thing about light painting is completely.
Yeah,
but it's a cool experience and something we'll hit on soon, but it doesn't really fit there.
I think one of the key points about like lighting, is like I don't think there's like a right or wrong to anything. It's all personal preference. Like some people are very specific about only using beauty dishes. Some people are very specific about only using their bounce card that's built into their booth. Each one of them is so subtle. I sent Jason like a side by side comparison of the different lighting. Hopefully we can post it for everybody to see how subtle or dramatic, like with the ring light, it's pretty dramatic, but just how subtle the differences are. It's just a difference of like shadows being minimized. If it's there's certain events where you do want that contrast, you do want harsher shadows. Like when I do portraits, I love to add shadows just because it adds a lot more dimension. So it's all personal preference. There's no right or wrong answer. I think that's something that a lot of people wonder about. Like, is there one better than the other? There's not really one better than the other. It's just your ability to like implement that type of lighting into your event and your specific scenario.
Yeah. And so anyone watching on YouTube will have already seen that image that Lap's talking about pop up on their screen. Anyone that's listening to this via podcast, we'll add a link to that photo in the show notes so you can go check it out and see exactly what she's talking about. So Lap, how am I going to get better at lighting? What can I do to learn lighting and have a better presentation?
I mean, the best way to learn lighting is really just trial and error. Like I learned by setting up, I mean, I have all the different lighting diffusers that we've discussed. I have it frustrates me. I don't know how to pronounce it. Parabolic. I have the big 5-foot umbrella. I have, you know, the black lined umbrella. I have black lined as in the black backing, that's the outside, and then white on the inside, white line, and then black outer shell. Mm-hmm. I've also done like the white outer shell and then like white and silver speckles on the inside. We've done brawly boxes, we've used soft boxes, we've used snoots. Those are the little, you know, it's not used that often in our industry, but, you know, testing all the different options that are out there so you can actually see what you prefer. Sometimes it's not even about the lighting. Like I know one thing that we just recently started trying is the lantern. Have you seen those, Jason? They're like the round, they look like giant bulbs.
I don't think so.
So that's like a thing that we recently incorporated into our events where we have used like the big bulbs. I think they're called lanterns, and they create like 360 lighting. So you minimize your shadows. And just, you know, I mean, that sounds great. And your output looks amazing with it because it spreads light in a 360 degree way. But they're a lot harder to set up. They're a lot harder to transport because you have the whole thing. They like fold down. So they're a lot longer. So set up, lining up the skeleton of it is a little bit more work. So there's a balance of like your output, a balance of like transporting and setting up, you know, finding what works best for you. So testing everything, like practice. Actually transporting, setting it up. Yeah. There, you can sit there and you can ask people what the best of lighting is, but that doesn't necessarily work. Doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work best for you, because if you don't know how to set up a lantern flash diffuser, you're not going to love it. You know, some of us prefer convenience. Some of us focus more on the output, you know, so it's all just you sorting through. Again, R&D should be part of your everyday. Like it shouldn't be where you're just asking somebody else what the best of anything is. You should test a lot of things yourself so you know what the best for you is. And you can confidently say, this is the reason why I use a beauty dish. This is the reason why, you know, I use an umbrella. Like when I used to have clients that cared a lot about aesthetics, this was a few years back, I only used beauty dishes, you know, and they were horrible to transport because, you know, they're big, they're bulky, you know, and they get bent when they're in transport. And I hated them. I hated having to replace them because they were dented. You can't show up with a dented beauty dish. So I love that, you know, our clients moved away from like focusing so much on the aesthetic of that. So we moved towards umbrellas because they're just so much more portable. Having an extra umbrella in the box is really convenient too. You know, we have one set inside the booth, and then we have a spare that's in the actual like utility box where we keep, you know, equipment, backup equipment, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, photography is huge. Like you could have the most expensive lights, the most expensive soft boxes, beauty dishes, but if you don't understand the core concept of like photography lighting and how it interacts with your lights, your camera settings, and how it interacts with your lights, it's a whole
So practice and testing and ultimately education, which is just something I guess we keep coming back to, knowing your equipment, knowing the cameras, knowing the lighting. Unfortunately, lighting is one of the most well taught parts of photography. You can find ample resources from books to YouTube videos to Skillshare videos highlighting specific lighting and slipping my mind now,
diagrams,
the triangle or whatever it is,
lighting triangle,
but,
yeah
uh outlining what exactly that is and how to figure out those ratios of how bright you need your lights and how far away and all of this. Specifically, if you're looking on YouTube or something, look for like one light lessons, single light lessons, and you can really learn some, besides the lighting, some creative things to do with your lighting and positioning and different filters and diffusers to use to create different effects. But ultimately, watch some lessons and test, lots of testing.
Yeah. And know what works best for you, for your clients, for the type of events you do. If you know you do outside your desk more than anything, an umbrella probably isn't going to be ideal for you, you know? So be realistic about like what type of events you have and, you know, type of equipment that's probably going to be better used for what you do.
And with that, I think we'll close up. Thanks everyone again for coming and joining us. If you have any follow-up questions about lighting, hello@probooftalk.com. Jump into our Facebook community, ProBooth Talk community, and you can ask some questions there. And join us on YouTube.
On YouTube and TikTok. Yeah.
TikTok. On TikTok is ProBooth T-O-K. So we're young and trendy. Yeah. So, thanks everyone.
Thank you, guys.
Help to keep this free information coming. Subscribe to ProBooth Talk in iTunes or Stitcher Radio. And while you're there, be sure to give us a 5-star rating. Finally, watch for show updates at facebook.com/ProBooth Talk.